Kim Jong-un made a statement that Joe Biden is a low IQ individual. He probably is, based on his record. I think I agree with him on that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The great Ryan Nobles joins us Monday mornings. Well, it's not Monday, is it? No, it's Tuesday. And thank you, Ryan, for taking the time this morning.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan Nobles from CNN. How did you spend your Memorial Day?
Well, I was working. I spent the weekend in Vermont. Bernie Sanders launched his
just as you dreamed yeah. It would be you and Bernie in Vermont.
It was beautiful, Vermont. If you've ever been to Burlington, Vermont, I highly recommend it. Very, very beautiful place. That yesterday I anchored our 11 a.m. show, so I had a busy work filled Memorial Day weekend, but not complaining at all. Happy to do it.
Nobody works harder than you do, including Wolf. All right, so a couple things. One, there's an idiot congressman from Texas who I'm pretty sure is going to be one and done, who got in the way of disaster relief while the people from Oklahoma are being inundated, flooded beyond belief. All of the storms that kicked in this weekend are all going to need disaster relief. There's two trails to this story. One is FEMA's funds, is there enough to go around? And secondarily, even the president got behind getting through this disaster relief through, and this idiot congressman got in the way and shut it down till at least later this week. What do we make of that?
Yeah, well, there's going to be another pro forma vote, they call it, today on the House floor. See, the House is in recess right now, but they keep it open, basically, just in case, so that somebody can't try some sort of trick during the time that they're not in session. And they're trying to pass this through with unanimous consent, meaning just everybody agrees, and it just takes one member of Congress to block a unanimous consent legislation. This congressman did that over the weekend, or before the weekend. There's an opportunity, again, to make that happen today. And, Steve, more than anything, it just shows us how divisive our politics is, right? That's something that you'd think would be universally acceptable, that you know, there are obviously a lot of people hurting, in need of help after these disasters, and that these funds are needed to kind of rebuild, and that politics gets in the way of it. And you know, we don't know what's going to happen today. As you mentioned, he received quite a bit of criticism from across the board, even from the White House. But I do think your broader question about where the funding is coming from, which I think was kind of the signal, or the message that this congressman was trying to send, you know, how are we funding this, where the money is coming from, and just the way Congress budgets in general, is all in need of a broader conversation, but probably this isn't the time to have that conversation, and that's why you're seeing such blowback.
Yeah, and the fact is, he was trying to kiss up to Trump and get the internet, friend. Trump was for this, so he's one and done. And people in Texas are hurting. People in Texas, I don't know if it's in his own district, but people in Texas are hurting as well, so a very stupid move. But typically, politics, as you've come to expect it, because as you stated, Ryan, if the house is on fire, we're going to have to use the water. We're going to figure out how we're going to pay for it later.
Exactly. So, yeah, and you'd think that these guys would start to figure that out, but it seems as though we're moving further away from civility and being able to come together for common sense things. And when there is serious things that we need to figure out, it makes you wonder how these guys are ever going to be able to handle that.
Speaking of civility or lack of the same, I have no interest in spending much time talking about Trump any day of the week, and he just keeps giving us reason where we have to. To be in a foreign country and say all the goofy things he said, but to say he sides with Kim Jong-un, who is, without question, a murderous dictator. There's no disputing that. There's not a single solitary legitimate organization in the world that wouldn't agree that he's a murderous dictator. And to say it's good to see Kim Jong-un's on the same page as me about Biden. Are you kidding me?
Steve, I have to say, you reminded me a little bit of Bernie Sanders there, because at his speech on Saturday, he said, the one thing I don't want to do is spend much time talking about my least favorite subject, Donald Trump.
There you go.
And then he went on to talk about him for about 6.5 minutes. So sometimes you just can't avoid talking about Donald Trump. But, you know, there were a lot of things that I think were certainly eyebrow raising. But this situation where he, you know, uses Kim Jong-un, this murderous dictator, as a shield and a sword to go after his political opponent, I think it's just, you know, it's another example of how, you know, completely destroying the conventions of the modern presidency, or the presidency at any point in time. And, you know, what do you say? How much further can you sound the alarm bells This is just something that we didn't do in this country. You know, you didn't criticize a fellow leader when you were on foreign soil, much less a current or former vice president. But then to take it into the political realm, it's one thing to criticize a policy position. I mean, for people, the president went in opposition of his own national security advisor as it relates to North Korea on this trip. But then to use it as part of the political campaign in Japan and then side with a murderous dictator just seems to be something that a lot of people can't wrap their minds around. But this is Donald Trump. This is who he is. And, you know, and I just wonder for his supporters, you know, is this where they want their president to be? Do they want him sidling up next to someone like this? You can not like Joe Biden all you want, but to choose Kim Jong-un over Joe Biden, I think, as I said before, it just raises a lot of questions.
Unless we forget about when Woodrow Wilson sided with Kaiser Wilhelm. Remember? You remember? When FDR sided with Emperor Hirohito? I remember that. I mean, who doesn't remember? George W. Bush and Bin Laden, remember the photo? Remember how they sided together? I mean, it just does not happen.
Well, you're joking, but, I mean, what if that did happen? Because it's not much different. What he's doing here is exactly if all of a sudden, after years of working to throw him from office, that all of a sudden George W. Bush made a statement about agreeing with the statement that Saddam Hussein had said
right.
about Barack Obama or John Kerry.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And if that had happened at the time, people would be screaming from the rooftop. So, but again, this is Donald Trump. It's a whole different ballgame, and in many ways, we're still not prepared for it, even though we're more than 2.5 years in.
The delightful press secretary who hasn't done a press briefing since, I don't know, about 10 minutes after she got into office now, showed up on Meet the Press and said some equally outrageous things, sort of supporting this North Korean defense. I don't know what CNN's policy is with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and if there even is one, because if she makes news, you need to put her on the news. Chuck Todd is a friend, and Chuck Todd put her on this weekend. I understand the need to put her on, but she's never going to say anything that's not in defense of Donald Trump, is she?
Well, and I don't know if any press secretary, you know, if you put in that position are not going to, you know, support the agenda of their leader. I think the problem here is the president, and, you know, she's put in a situation where she's got to defend what he's doing. And, you know, I'm of the camp that I understand that there's a lot of people that believe, and I'm not speaking on, I don't know, policy in terms of shows and things like that. That's a different department for me. But I know from my personal experience that if I had an opportunity to interview her, I would, because I still think it's better to try and press her and get her on the record on these issues than not. I feel that back themselves into corners and they aren't always on. They still shouldn't be held. So, you know, I applaud Chuck Todd for what he tried to do in terms of trying to get her on the record on some of these things. But the biggest thing with this administration is it is so difficult to cover them when they're not tethered to the truth. And not just that they're not tethered to the truth, but also that they can convince a whole block of Americans that their version of the truth is actually reality. That's the situation we find ourselves in time and time and time again. And it's certainly not an easy thing to do, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't keep trying to make sure that we set the record straight.
Well, you know, I think of the press secretary for Nixon, who finally had to just go, I got nothing. The press secretary for Bill Clinton, who had to stand up and defend him. It's a terrible job a lot of the time to have to stand up and lie or at least deeply bend the truth. But at some point, I'm fascinated by the fact that none of these people seem to have mirrors in their home. I don't know how you look at yourself in the mirror when you back up this North Korean comment.
Well, you know, but I do think you have to look back, Stephen, look at all the volatility within his administration. You know, there have been a, you know, kind of a small cadre of them that have been with him from the very beginning and haven't left his side, Sarah Sanders being among them. But, you know, you just go down the list of people that just couldn't handle it anymore. Rex Tillerson, John Kelly, Hope Hicks, you know, the list goes on and on. So I think there have been a fair amount of people that signed up for this administration, you know, not 100% sure what they were getting with Donald Trump, but they agreed kind of broadly with a lot of his policy proposals and liked the idea that he was going to kind of shake things up, and then got in there and realized that this wasn't something they wanted to be a part of. You know, I think the thing we always sometimes forget, Steve, is that he still enjoys a pretty, you know, healthy amount of kind of passionate support with a certain section of the American public. And, you know, it's not that surprising that he can find people to work for him. And I think it's another reason why he's still in a reasonably good position to win re-election. We've got a long way to go, but you know, if anything, Donald Trump has proven us that if it's one thing he's good at, it's defying expectations.
Look, Fox News isn't going anywhere, and I suppose there's always going to be a place for these folks to land, but their careers are going to be a dumpster fire when this is all over, whenever it's over. Mark these words. You can hold me to account when that happens. Ryan Nobles, please tell Bernie that you compared him to me. I think it'll be good for his morale.
I think he would consider that comparison to be a flattery. I would be flattering him if he knew that the two of you have something in common.
Oh, very much so, except for the hair. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Ryan Nobles from CNN.